The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon and welcome to the National Intel Report. I'm Steve Elkins sitting in for Mr. John Stadmiller today. I had to skip my Sunday broadcast last week. I'm still a little under the weather. I'm still trying to heal up a little bit here, but I'm a team player. And when Mike called me, I said, sure, I can, or Dan actually called me, sure, I can stand in, and I think I can wing an hour. But I did call for the help of Mr. Michael Herzog, which hopefully he'll be here shortly. And for the next hour, we're going to be talking about what's kind of going on today in the news, what's been going on in the news the last couple of weeks. And I kind of wanted to talk about DACA a little bit. It's a lot to be said on this. There's a lot of heavy, hard opinions on this subject matter. And it's going to be interesting how this is treated by Mr. Donald Trump, President Trump. Not sure there's any easy answers on this agenda here, how to fix this problem. You know, when you get a problem that gets totally out of control, it's like cancer. You're in stage four cancer, and then you finally decide you're going to try to find a solution or palliative or whatever you want to go, direction you want to go. But we are at a tipping point with this problem here. It's costing this country, this nation, billions of dollars every year. I guess it's been estimated to be right around $100 billion. A problem we've had with illegal immigration, this whole problem has been lasting. It's been around for a good 30-plus years. No doubt about that. But now we at that tipping point, and we have to do something. It seems like every 4 years a president says they're going to do something, and they just kind of dabble at it. They don't really fix anything. They do a little patch job here and there. And I think we're at this point right now, basically, where diversity in this country, we are losing our identity as Americans. Now, I'm a pretty nice guy. You know, I don't have a problem with legal immigration. I don't have a problem with some diversity. But not sure if I'm still on or not. May have been kicked off here. Nope, not.
How to fix this problem. You know,
hello?
Am I still here? Hey, Michael, you're there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. I got out a little problem here. I thought I got kicked off the net completely here, but you're here. No, I'm just talking about, we're going to talk about a little bit of DACA today, and I was just going to go into my little spiel here, and then I'm going to call on you for your expert opinion, your advice. But this is clearly a mess. I said I kind of made the simulation. This is kind of like being in the hospital setting, and you got a cancer diagnosis. You're in stage four cancer. That's the final stage, by the way. And you decide you're going to finally do something about it. Well, this should have been something we should have done something about a long, long time ago. Like I said, 30-plus years, we've had this open borders, this porous borders where anybody can kind of walk over. And I've always said to myself, Michael, that when you want to solve a problem, first you must identify the characteristics of that problem. And I don't think a lot of people quite understand this whole deferred action for child arrivals, DACA. Who is under that umbrella? You know, They just said, oh, they're children. Well, the children. Let's define who the children are. So are we talking about little toddlers, you know, 3-4-year-olds, you know, fifth graders, school-age kids? Sure we are. We're talking about them. But we haven't talked about, which has been included, by the way, the children are 20-year-olds, 25, 30-year-olds, college students, maybe even a little older than that. And they don't talk about those. So they're included in this umbrella of the children. And of course, everybody loves children. Who doesn't like children? I mean, you want to pass a bill, just put child on it, and every politician will have to sign it. Because if they don't sign it, they're going to look like you're anti-child. You hate kids. So am I right on that one, Michael?
Well, yeah, and you threw me a little bit of a curveball because you'd mentioned you'd called me on the phone and talking about Andrew Napolitano and the Fourth Amendment, and then now you're talking about DACA, and you say you want my expert opinion. I'm going, uh-oh, yeah. because well, I'm still going out. Go ahead.
I decided not to go that route because you're on a roll with that, what you were talking about today about the police state. I do not want to take away your thunder. That's a great article by Judge Napolitano, which would definitely fit your show tomorrow because you're not quite done with that topic matter.
Well, no, I'm going to dig into it over the weekend, hopefully, and go through this, the greatest story never told, and kind of put it in my own words, see if I can shorten it down a little bit and kind of cognitively give it out to the audience in order to where they can get a better picture, because it is a little bit slow and hard to follow at times. But anyway, back to this DACA thing. Are you talking about the immigration or the refugee program or both?
Both, actually, both.
Okay. Yeah. And gosh, I'm scraping the cobwebs out of my brain here, Steve, because I know I did a show on it last year when I was in the night slot. And what I understood about the refugee program is that there's a number of entities, private entities, non-government sector entities that are kind of contracted with the government to bring these people in. And you're right. You know, they say, child, oh my God, we got to let the children in. No, when these people are coming in and they're 18, 20 years old, and they're coming in from countries that we have to remember we previously bombed, right? So far. So I'm wondering if any of them had a mother, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, cousin that was killed. And I wonder if any of them might have, I don't know, a bit of an attitude towards us. What do you think?
Yeah. I totally agree. There's an entitlement, even though they came here illegally, there seems to be an entitlement, especially on the college campuses I'm noticing there right now, that they believe they are owed, you know, tuition breaks or free tuition. And like I said, this umbrella, it houses a lot of people. We're not talking about just children here. So if you figure, if you do the math and you say, okay, you got children, actual little children, and then you've got teenagers, you've got high school kids, you've got 20-year-olds, you've got 30-year-olds, and, you know, if you start putting the numbers, start doing the math here, you start to realize that the 20 and 30-year-olds possibly could have children and families of their own and had children already. And definitely the 30-year-olds probably have some children. So this problem is exponentially getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And this is another number that's been dumbed down. You know, they're saying 800,000 DACA children here in the United States that need help. But we know with all the numbers that come out of government, you know, when they tell you unemployment is a 4.1%, and we know that's not true, they're telling you at first, they've been staying on this number for a long time now, Michael, 12 million illegals in this country. They've been using that number for the last 15 years, that same number, 12 million illegals in this country. And we know, I can tell you, there's a thing I call the rule of three or rule of four. When I'm in a hospital and I ask a patient, when he's shaking, I can tell he's got a drinking problem. I ask him, he's going to pull those numbers on me. I drink about 6-7 beers a day. I multiply that times 3 or 4, and that's exactly what I have when I have a guy shaking like that. So when I see these numbers of 12 million illegals in this country, you know what? I multiply it times 3 or 4, and there's a true number probably right about there. 36 to 40 million illegals in this country right now, at least.
I would agree, and they're all moving over to the sanctuary state of California, right, where you just moved out of.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get Ron out of there, and I don't know why Ron is stuck there.
You know, I just did a snippet on my show the other day about the Transparent California and the amount of money that, you know, the teachers and the police department, the superintendents of schools and all this really make. And it's astounding because they make, a lot of them make more money than the president of the United States, believe it or not. And you can get that out of TransparentCalifornia.com. That's no secret, and I'm not making this up. Upwards of $400,000 and $500,000 a year for a police officer or a teacher. Give me a break. Go ahead. And it's at the taxpayer's expense. Go ahead. I don't mean to get you off topic, but go ahead.
No, you're right on point there. And that's why I left. That's exactly why I left. When it was referred to and they said it was going to be a sanctuary city to San Francisco, I said, well, you know, it's just a matter of time before the whole state takes that sanctuary state. And when it was actually announced by Governor Jerry Brown, I said, that's it. We've got to get going here. So we expedited. We got going a little faster than normal. And the goal was always to leave anyway. California was never going to be my home forever. It never felt right. I did benefit professionally there for a while. But, you know, the middle class is getting squeezed. The poor will always be poor, Michael. They'll never have anything to take from. The middle class is the only place you can squeeze in California right now. And the wealthy are going to hide their wealth. They're always going to be taking care of themselves, and they're always passed legislation to get those little tax breaks, those little shelters they always get. But the middle class in California is going to get squeezed very, very hard. And we made it out in time. I'm very happy to be out of there. I miss Ron. I miss hanging out with Ron and go over to Ron's house or you come to my house. But hopefully, soon enough, he'll understand because he agrees that California is going to go through some very, very hard times. Now, I'm not talking about just what happened recently with all the fires and the floods going on right now. That's, I do believe that. We can talk about that another time. That's part of Agenda 21 in Italy. But their hard times are coming, and the borders are open, and people are flooding in, and somebody's going to have to pay the bill. It ain't me.
No, I agree with you. Actually, I was over there a few weeks ago. I entertained at a Christmas party over there with my oldest friend that I went to high school with. He lives there. He's a prominent attorney, one of the most prominent estate planning attorneys in Southern California. And we had this very conversation because he's the one that showed me Transparent California. And he also showed me and told me who it was that was footing the bill for this, which was indeed the middle class, him being a taxpayer in the bracket that he's in. And, you know, is Jerry Brown nuts? What's happening? Is California going to secede from the union? We're making this, or they're making this, a sanctuary state, which means, from what I understand, that any of these people can come in here, set up shop, and they're supposed to obtain benefits. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Steve, but from what I had researched last year, but prior to doing that show on refugees, is they actually get an entitlement or an allotment as soon as they get off the bus. And they're also questioned by whoever these people are that are taking them in about their health because they're trying to get them on Social Security disability. Now, this is what I uncovered, and again, we're scraping the cobwebs out of my brain here, my friend, because this was like 9 months ago that I did this, but am I on point with any of that?
Yeah, you're totally. You know, this is clear math for me. I'm kind of a math kind of guy, so when I hear that the border wall, actually, I think Trump just asked for another $16 to $17 billion, that's actually more than I thought because I understood the whole program was supposed to cost about $12 to $13 billion to do the whole entire project, but evidently that must have been only part of the wall, half of the wall. So now he's requesting another $16 to $17 billion to finish the remaining wall, which needs to be done, which is about 700 miles total, I believe. And so this is math. You know, I'm a math guy, so I look at what do the illegals cost this country? What do they cost the taxpayers in taxpayer funds? It's around $100 billion. Now, if you break that down, you say, where is it all going? It's going to medical. It's going to schools. It's going to your house subsidies. It's going to welfare, feeding these people, clothing them. And somebody has got to pay all this. Now, these children on DACA don't have a clue. They don't understand economics at all. Now, if it was their own country in Mexico and we all started flooding in, I'm sure they'd understand the math. And they'd understand, I can't pay for these people coming in. But no, you're in my country. And, you know, I hate it when I hear people say we are the richest nation on the planet. Because we are not, Michael. We are not the richest nation on the planet. We are a debted nation. We're a nation that lives by credit and debit. and we are not in good financial situation here, a good state. So, you know, breaking this problem down, like I said, you have to identify it and break down the components of the problem before you can actually find a solution. And this is a big mess. This is a quagmire. Now, you've got Trump meeting with Congress legislators, and he's saying it's going to take a little give and take. It's not a give and take. It's a tug of war. Everything he wants to do, everything he's promised this nation when he was on the campaign trail, is not coming so fast. I'm not sure it's ever going to come. I'm going to hold out. I'm going to cross my fingers. But, Michael, I'm not happy with this president, and that he's talked about a lot of things that nothing yet has come true. And he's not moving in the direction to actually accomplish those goals he promised with building a wall and making America great again and bringing back jobs and manufacturing. Just those couple things right there, which is his main platform, you know.
Well, Steve, let me interject here. First of all, do you want to take callers? Because up on my screen, we've got a caller here.
Oh, yes.
I don't know whether you've got it or not. But
yeah, I did.
Let's go to – I'm going to go to him in just a second here.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I want to expound a bit. When you're talking about – I feel that part of the reason why Trump hasn't been able to accomplish what he was attempting to accomplish is because the left is throwing every stumbling block in the way that they can. And when we had originally talked on the phone, you were talking about the Napolitano article with the Fourth Amendment. It was interesting when you called. I happened to be on the telephone with a little girlfriend of mine in Auburn, Indiana, which shall remain nameless. But she, on her Facebook page, you know who Dan Bongino is? He used to be secret security for Bill and Hillary Clinton. Also wrote a book. He also ran for either the Congress or Senate this past term. He lost, but he put a 5-minute clip out regarding the FISA surveillance on Trump during the campaign, and he said that it looks like this is all going to be exposed here in the not too distant future because Mike Rogers, the head of the NSA, actually went and talked to Trump in Trump Tower on November 17th, and he tipped off Trump that he was being surveilled. Henceforth, that's why Trump came out and talked about being spied upon and wiretapped. Well, he wasn't being wiretapped, but he was being surveilled. And Bongino's going to make an announcement on his podcast regarding he was talking about Sessions. We think he's not doing anything, but behind the scenes, they literally are working on blowing the doors off and bringing this whole scandal down around Obama and Clinton and everybody else. Is it true? Is it not true? Dan Bongino is a credible source. I've got the clip. I'll be happy to play it. But in the meantime, let's take a shot here. I don't totally agree with you on Trump, only because I believe he's being handcuffed at every turn. But let's go to Abdul in Minnesota. Abdul, yeah. You're on with Michael and Steve. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. Glad to be on. I just want to touch upon this immigration thing briefly. I am a son of an immigrant. My mother came from Panama, and she did it the legal way. We have on the books laws already in place to deal with this illegal immigration thing. And I think that the biggest player, obviously, in illegal immigration are these big corporations. Everything is really a scam. Like, the health insurance scam, the insurance scam, all this correlates together. Now, I'm in Minneapolis where we have an influx of Somalis, West Africans, some people from from Asia and stuff like that, the Hmongs and stuff like that. But the thing I want to point out is that we need to bring in people, immigrants, who are about our country, and they respect our country, and they want to be working, and they want to pay their taxes, and they want to be part of this great nation. We can't have the ones that cross the border that are moving drugs and all that stuff. Now, I will say that the biggest supplier of these drugs that are affecting our country and the illegals to bring them in, as we all know, is our own government. So we can actually shine light and bring that to light and put that to the forefront. Like, hey, you want to stop illegal immigration and the things that's going on our border and stuff like that? Let's stop supplying the world with this illegal drug trade.
Right. Well, I agree. I totally agree.
Well, I agree with him about it. Go ahead. Go ahead, Abdul.
Well, what I was going to say is I have a family member who's not even a citizen. She's been here for 40 years. And every time she goes through legal process, she goes and gets herself reinstated, her status reinstated every time. What is the big deal?
Okay.
The deal is that we have people that...
Abdul, stop. You're a host on the network. You know there's a break coming up. We'll hold you over. Be back in three. Michael Herzog with Steve Elkins and Abdul, who has a show on the weekend. Be right back.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Big John, Big John.
Every morning at the mine you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John, Big John.
Big Bad John.
We're back. This is... Yep. And it was coming back, and you coming in or am I coming in? We're back. This is the National Intel Report.
I'm just riding shotgun looking for the bandits, Steve, so go ahead.
Yeah, I just sent you a little. You go bring him back in or I'll bring him in. This is the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog, Steve Elkins sitting in for John Stadmiller today. We've got RBN host Abdul out of Minnesota. Go ahead and finish up, Abdul.
Well, briefly, I just wanted to say that I think the biggest issue is that with this immigration thing is that it's a movement to replace our population, our Americans, the ones that are out here looking for jobs and stuff like that, can't find a job. These corporations.
Oh, don't forget, it's a movement for them to vote democratically as well. Go ahead.
Yes.
And I was just, you read my mind. I'm getting to that point.
Okay.
They need to replace the poor Caucasian and the black folks. The ones that are finally getting off that Democratic plantation, the ones that are finally realizing that we can do more for ourselves than the government can do for us. But it's the very government that sees that movement and saying, oh, crap, we have a problem. We got people, we have Americans that are waking up and don't want to partake in this crazy system that we put in place We need a workforce to replace them and move them out ever so slightly. Now, to the point that Michael made about these guys getting off the plane or off the bus and giving a stipend or giving them money. Look, the housing complex that I'm in now that we own, it's a townhome association, so a lot of these homes are empty. But now there's the influx of these Western African people coming in here, buying up houses, renting houses, moving a whole family in, which I have nothing against that, you know, but a majority of them do work hard and pay taxes. But the thing is, they're coming out with Benzes and BMWs. I'm looking around, and I'm like, how do y'all afford all that just getting off the boat and not working a day in your life? So they put them on that system, that perpetuated system, and it just destroys our system that we already have, and that's all I really
do you think, Abdul, do you think it's possible that it could be for the same reason that Indians own all of the motels and Iraqis own the liquor stores and so forth? They give them the government gives them a big small business loan? I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. But evidently, it's a good point. Steve, your input? Yeah.
No, I have noticed that also. 7-Elevens, even your Motel 6s, all just seem to be an Indian-owned. I'm not sure how they're doing that.
Yeah, what happened to Tom Baudet? I don't know. You know, yeah. We'll leave the light on for you. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. But, you know, another thing here is when you're rewarding somebody at the expense of somebody else, Abdul, you'll probably agree with this. You know, if somebody's coming to this country here and they're just handing them a nice blank check here to start off, and you've made somebody else pay for that, mainly the middle class, you're creating a hatred right there where you're taking away from people. You're saying, hey, I'm going to play Robin Hood. I'm going to take away from you, and I'm going to give it to this guy and make his life good and make your life miserable. So you've created this anger, this animosity to say, I don't like these people now, and I'm not that kind of guy, but you can't take away from people who are hardworking people and then just give it away free, no charge. And of course, there's an attitude there. It's almost right now what's happening, and we're seeing is a belief that it's one of those, their entitlement. It's an entitlement. You've come here and you get free money to get a start, but somebody's got to pay for that. And these DACA kids in this under this umbrella, especially the older ones in the high schools and then the college, they don't understand economics. Where is the money going to come from? They don't understand economics.
Mm-hmm. Last point I want to make before you guys let me go is just look at an example of the Civil War. Okay? We don't need to go that far back in here. Just look at the Civil War. It's about economics and divide and conquer. You're right about that. They want that underclass, like, okay, I feel resentment because look at this guy who hasn't been here in our country, who was afforded all the things that we struggle to get, health care, a job even, insurance coverage and all that. You're right. And look at these marches that we have in the streets of our nation, flying Mexican flags and all that stuff. Look, if you love Mexico so much, go back to Mexico. Go make Mexico great. Don't come to my country and talk about how I need to respect your flag, the Mexican flag, and the people of Mexico. You're in America. Respect where you're at and what you're trying to do. Take that garbage across the border and go help your poor country out. Thank you for taking my call, and I take your responses off the air. Thank you.
You got it.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Steve.
No.
We got a break. I'll tell you what, you bring us in. I'll take us out. We got a break coming up again here in a minute or two. We got Art off the grid on line three. Right. Let's bring Art up, and we'll just hold him over through the break. Art, you're on with Michael and Steve. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I just moved from Missouri back to Georgia here about a little over a month ago. And when I was out in Missouri, I began to notice an increase in refugee population.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the southeast parts of Missouri, your Somali and Syrian refugee populations are growing at an expedited rate, and they're taking jobs at places like Tyson Chicken, where they have no layoffs, they have great benefits, great paychecks. After 90 days, they get a $1,200 bonus, and they're making $11 an hour. And these are, like, jobs that, I don't know, like, actual Americans can get.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a few minutes here, Michael and Steve, with Art off the grid back in 3. No reason.
reason to get excited.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream. Never gonna survive unless we get a little crazy. No, we're never gonna survive unless we are a little.
We're back. This is the National Intel Report. Let's get crazy. This is a crazy topic here, DACA. We're talking. I got Michael Herzog on the phone here with me, and we also have Art off the grid. Art, go ahead and finish up what you were thinking.
I misspoke a second ago. I said Southeast Missouri. I meant Southwest Missouri, down around Springfield and Joplin area. And, you know, like I was saying, these jobs at places like Tyson, they pay like $11 an hour. Well, there are actual, real, honest-to-goodness Americans who would really love to have these jobs. But instead, they're bringing in, and I don't know if they're doing it through the EB-5 visas or whatever it is, but they're bringing them in and they're giving them these jobs. And what I find interesting in this is during the fall of last year, while I was in Missouri, we heard a Department of Human Resource worker in Missouri, I believe she was out of St. Louis, if I remember correctly, she was talking about, she came forward and spilled the beans, kind of like a whistleblower, talking about how these sick refugees were being brought in with any number of different diseases and illnesses, and these people were immediately being put on disability and other benefits. And come to find out, if a refugee is here for 30 days, or for, I'm sorry, for 3 months, they automatically are eligible for what's known as RCA, which is Refugee Cash Assistance, and the few that are not eligible for RCA are automatically eligible for things like TANF, food stamps, and other welfare benefits that people like you and I can't even get. And we are born here. Now you tell me where this makes any sense at all, that we're going to bring people from other countries and give them benefits that we can't even get, and we are the ones that are footing the bill.
Do you want to take that, Steve, or do you want me to?
I'll take a stab at that one. I share your frustration. I know I get angry about this stuff, too. The government playing Robin Hood. I don't get the – I'm a citizen, and my benefits aren't not even close to that. I mean, that's terrible. You know, the problem, the thing I ask, the question is, this is such a – to me, it's – we have laws on the books for a long, long time, and I remember the last time I looked it up, it still stands, a $10,000 fine for every hiring infraction of an illegal alien in this country for corporate America. And we, for some reason, we can't follow our own laws. Now, this is easy stuff. You simply follow the flipping law. This is not hard. It's a law. You follow the law. If you want the laws changed, you change the laws. But the law still stands on the book. And for some reason, we have a president and we have a Congress who doesn't want to follow the law. So this isn't a hard thing to fix. You could fix it if you simply followed the law. Michael, you're there.
all I can say about it is it fits into the, you know, more Democrats in the country, you know, Hegelian dialectic, divide and conquer, because it makes no sense to me either. But I tell you what, you know, great point, and I do appreciate the call, Art. Anything else you want to add before we go to the next caller?
No. Actually, I do want to just make a plug for Abdul. He's got a show on Saturdays. It's called Left to Right, and it's at 6 p.m., and definitely check him out. I've checked him out. He's a good guy. He was a frequent caller like myself, and I guess John recognized his talent and had him come on board. So glad to have him on board. Check him out, Abdul. And his show is Left to Right on Saturdays. Go ahead, next caller.
All right, Wayne in Texas. You're on with Michael and Steve. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, the reason I wanted to call in was Abdul had mentioned he was scratching his head over the fact that some of these people come into the country and they seem to have quite a bit of money and drive expensive cars and everything. And I'm quite sure there's some very secretive federal programs that are helping them along. But one program that folks could look up here that would make your head blow off is if you Google the phrase illegals exploit tax loopholes, and what will happen is you'll find one story about an Indianapolis TV station, WTHR.com, that did a big expose on this. And what's happening is, and I hope it's not happening under Trump, but under Obama administration, these illegal aliens were applying for a program, something like EITC, that was set up for poor Americans, where if a poor American had a handful of kids, they could get so much money back from the government to help with expenses. Well, under this particular program, illegal aliens were claiming dependents that lived down in Mexico, South America, and they were getting thousands of dollars over the course of time by virtue of filing this form. And there have been stories of these illegals getting checks in 1 year, anywhere from $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. So if you ever wonder how an illegal alien can't speak any English is driving a Tahoe or F-250, that's where I think I'd point, in that direction, that this program was really violated quite a bit. And why it was allowed to happen is beyond me. Point number two, this chain migration thing, I think it's a very critical situation, because even most people on the political side who bring it up, don't talk about the actual cost. It doesn't take much to think that a family of four The guy's won the lottery, brought in his wife and two kids, maybe costing taxpayers about $4,000 a month. They start bringing in relatives, maybe to the tune of 10 or 15. There's another 15 to 20K per month. You extrapolate that over 1 year, you might be looking at one guy winning a lottery costing taxpayers anywhere from $250,000 to maybe on up to $300,000 possibly. That's just one guy with all his chain of relatives coming in. So you can see where if thousands of people won this lottery, the amount of the hit against taxpayers in this country is phenomenal from what I can tell. Any thoughts?
No, I agree with that. You know, I was going to go back to the math here. A net savings, if the wall, the total wall cost let's say $20 billion. It looks like it's close to $20 billion. And you're spending $100 billion on the illegals. So you've got a net saving of $80 billion a year. Now, if you want to make America great again, that put that $80 billion back into your infrastructure, which, by the way, is failing. I drove back to Indiana from Indiana to Florida, and the roads are a mess. They're all cracked up, and they need to be fixed. And, of course, we know that the gas excise tax is not being used to fix these roads and help the schools. It's being skimmed off for probably some of the pension program, government pension program problems. But, you know, here's a net savings of $80 billion to put back in the infrastructure. We need it. We need it. And this
may I interject here, Steve?
Interject, sir.
You can build a $20 billion wall, but if you've got a DACA program, you know, walls don't stop airplanes, and these people are flying in here under these government programs, you know, and being checked in and given stipends and going out into the communities. And, you know, any of this or all of this could be true about, you know, the cars that they drive. I know there's a big problem back in Indiana in my son's neck of the woods with Burmese people. And it's the same thing. He's complaining they're all driving around in these Mercedes-Benzes and so forth, not to mention the fact they don't know how to drive. Okay, but where's all this money coming from? So, yes, you can spend as much money as you want on the wall, but if we're still bringing these people in through immigration and the refugee programs, and we're flying them in, which we are, what good does a wall do?
Well, I totally agree. But you should have a wall anyway. This should stop what's coming in. And now we got to figure out, like I said, you identified the problem. We know the components of the problem, the children and the age groups now. Now we got to figure out who stays and who goes. But this is costly. I mean, it's going to bring us to our knees. We are losing our identity as Americans, no doubt about it. This is out of control spending. Middle class is getting squeezed more and more. We are going to be facing an economic collapse here in the future, no doubt about it. There's several bubbles that are going to burst. This is going to get very ugly, possibly even a racial civil war come out of all this, because we're squeezing the people that don't really have it anymore to give away. So you're going to cause hatred, a lot of animosity there. Let's go back to the phones here. We got Francis in North Carolina. You're on.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hi.
At least I got you that time. When you talk about the law and being enforced and all that, as far as immigration goes and so forth ad nauseum, you realize, of course, that is just simply put in writing or legalese writing, lip service is all it basically boils down to, that is selectively enforced whenever the mood strikes the politician or lawyer or whoever, or corporate heads' mood as to when they want to enforce it and when they don't. And that's all there is to it, especially considering what kind of money is being passed through the hands of who and for what reason, let alone the legal system that's also bought and paid for that matter. So, again, it's just simply a written version of lip service as far as so-called law goes. Hence the reason why on the everyday streets, one version of that I can give you right now is you have a long stretch of road, very little traffic, and you have a posted speed limit of, like, say, 35. And yet you're like, okay, this makes absolutely no psychological sense whatsoever. You should be able to go more than 35 on a straight, flat road that you don't see any traffic on. And yet you got a patrolman, yes, I said a patrolman, policeman, whatever name you want to call them, cops, whatever, is ready to pop you off whenever they feel like it because they said, okay, fine, I need to build up some revenue and so forth. I hate to use that for an analogy, but it does happen to fit the bill. So anyway, now policemen do that, but there are some that do. So, again, you're talking about when the mood strikes, they want to enforce a law that they put in writing, just like any law. I mean, you have a law regarding cell phone usage when people are driving or texting or whatever. Do you honestly think they're going to enforce that? I don't think so. Not with all the toys that people have this day and time in the vehicle. Give me a break. That's a joke.
Well, you know, Francis, like Ron McDonald will tell you, a lot of these things, they expect it. They actually, it's an encouragement for commerce. And so, yeah, the police don't mind. They like that idea that people are out there actually using their cell phones while they're driving because this is commerce. They pull you over. There's commerce to be made out of all of this. Fixing budgets. And so that's what I say on that part.
I've already talked to Francis today, so I'll just remain moot.
We are at the tipping point on this diversity issue where we have too much diversity. And when you have too much diversity, you know, something's got to give here. And like I said, the identity of the United States. What is an American anymore? I guess the new definition and the political correctness is the new definition of being an American is if you're just on the soil, claiming you're on soil, that's good enough, and then the benefits roll in. This is, trying to figure out the solution, you're going to have a cutoff somewhere along the line, a cutoff age to say, okay, you kids who've been here for the last 5 years and you're like, 3 years old up to, let's say, 12 or 11, you can stay. But you other ones, yeah, you're going to have to draw a line in the sand here, and you're going to have to force people out, which I don't think they're going to go too easily. I think then you're looking at riots.
Well,
like you saw. Go ahead.
Didn't Donald Trump put in a cutoff? He actually cut back the amount of refugees that were coming in, because if we remember during the campaign, you know, Hillary Clinton was all about bring them all, you know, and Donald Trump. Go ahead, Francis.
My question is this: the U.S. has been known as being a melting pot,
right?
To start with, but the question now is: has the U.S. Gone from being a melting pot to who knows what now?
Stirring pot.
Or is it, well, that's a good one, a stirring pot. So the question is, I mean, there's a lot of different cultures to learn from. I'll give you that. I find them fascinating. But there are some that I'd rather learn from more than others. Right now, I'm having to learn a little bit of Hindi just to be able to communicate with other people that happen to be Indian, given the fact I'm in North Carolina, around Raleigh. So it's like, it gets really interesting, because my Hindi is very limited. At least my Spanish is a lot better than my Hindi. It's certainly better than my Bulgarian. So,
wow. We are versed in language, aren't we, Francis? Man.
Well, not that badly.
But you know, Francis, when you talk about the melting pot, you know, we're talking... That was a term that was first Americans, Europe, coming into the United States through New York Harbor there. We're talking about, this is a totally different generation. These are totally different people that are coming in today versus then. Those are the people that actually built this country and made it great. They were the carpenters. Yeah. They were the welders. They were the people with talent. What we're getting in now is not the talent that's making this country great. It's actually doing quite the opposite. It's tearing down this country.
Well, that's true, but mind you, not only is it that, but also the fact that a lot of your businesses, corporations that actually helped with infrastructure building have, decades ago, took flight out of the U.S. just so they can ship in goods or whatever and not construct it with using the raw materials here in the U.S. to build from and actually employ people here in the in the States. For crying out loud. So it's a multifaceted issue. It's not just having to do with people themselves and where they come from, but also has to deal with how the corporations are going to handle people on an individual basis. And the fact that you're basically having to be faced with the aspect of capitalism and whether or not you're going to have a parasitic capitalism, as I would tend to refer to it, because it's great to have a business that's looking out for the community and all that and helping to keep the people employed and all that and a skilled labor. But when you start getting greedy and, you know, selfish or whatever the terminology you want to use and move your business out of the U.S. and just basically telling those people that has skilled trained abilities to go take a hike with no resolve to their end, who's cutting whose throat?
Michael?
What? No, she's making great points. I mean, what am I supposed to say to all this? You know,
I mean, we should have had her on Skype and had a three way here. You know?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm speechless here.
You don't want me to do that, believe me. I mean, I could believe me. If I look at it this way, I've actually had some people tell me, so maybe I should go up to D.C. and work as a politician. I said, because I would be taken out in under 24 hours.
Yeah, I would.
Because if I were to go to D.C., I'd be kicking everybody out. Yeah. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Lobbyists, well, you name it, politicians.
Abdul made a good comment about, you know, when you come here, you be an American and actually do the things to show that you are an American. Francis, go ahead and stand on the line here. We'll be right back.
Oh, boy.
Land of flame and fields, where you will learn that packaging is all that heaven is. Got the little black car, the little black dress, we got the guru and the trailer and the full course dress, we got the software, hard drive, CD-ROM, we got the exploitation.com, we got the pages.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Return to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. There is a house in New Orleans. They call the rising sun.
Many a poor boy,
and God,
This is the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins and Mike Herzog on the phone with Francis. Francis, go ahead and finish up.
Well, just a quick thought for you. If I was to have gone on there as a third party, that would give a whole new meaning to the phrase menage a trois. Well, with that lead-in bumper music and what it was singing about, I was like, oh, my gosh, what an intro. So, anyway, with that being said, I'm going to let you fellas go because, you know, when it comes right down to it, with all the political shenanigans and who knows what is going on and how much the so-called news has spewing out the out there, well, whatever orifice you want to call it, for that matter, is going on, I literally shut it all off and think about to myself, you've got to be joking me. Where's the common sense going other than out the window? So,
I agree. On that note,
y'all have fun. Later.
Hey, thank you, Francis. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Francis. She's an interesting lady, isn't she not?
Yeah, between her and Renee.
My God. Well, yeah, Renee, that's another story. Renee doesn't talk to me anymore.
She doesn't?
No. Okay. No, that's a story. I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
Which is, you know, I think it's mutual. So there.
Okay.
Anyway, we want to close this out here. What other brilliant thoughts do you have in your foggy mind, Mr.
Yeah.
Steve?
Yeah, I know. Foggy mind. I've got to get healed up here. Yeah. Talk about Kelso's on next after us. But that's right. That's right. I'm sorry. Never mind. This second hour. That's right. Jeff Bennett's taking the second hour with managing your money, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Sorry, I do have foggy head today, Mike. But
well, you sounded pretty good, Steve. I mean, you know, you were just ripping it out there. All I'm doing, as I told you when you called me, I'm just riding shotgun looking for the bandits, and I found the bandit in Francis, so there you go. But anyway, it's an interesting situation. Back to Trump for just a minute here. You and I agree to disagree a little bit on it. I think a lot of it has to do with throwing monkey wrenches into the arena to keep him from, you know, doing what he needs to be. Now, I'm not totally on board with this because there are some things that are going on that I scratch my head and go, you know, and I know that I was on the Trump train last year for the full ticket, and I don't know, sometime in March or April, maybe May, that I told John, I said, well, I think I'm going to stop at the station and take a break for a while and just kind of peruse and see what's happening here. Some of the stuff has gotten done. You can take it both ways for what's really happening, you know, as far as the executive order was passed on the 21st of December regarding seizing assets internationally from, people who were damaging human rights. Right. Well, on the one hand, you know, it could be the child trafficking that's going on that he passed that for. But on the other hand, he said something about the protests going on in Iran and the human rights abuses. And the United States is going to be watching closely on that. So I'm kind of stuck in the middle on that one. Anyway, I hear the music. I'll close it out because I know your head's foggy. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight to the National Intel Report. I'm sure John will be back tomorrow. You guys stay out of trouble. And I'll see you on my show tomorrow between 1 and 3 Central. And John from 6 to 8. Okay. Good night. Right. Good night, Steve, and good night, Mike, the board op. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.